technology. I was up till 1 o'clock in the morning messing with technology so I could do this morning. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. My name is Paul Prestrud. I live in Bags with my family. We've been going to church here for how long, hon? 13 years. When you're having fun, you don't count them. You just keep coming. So it's a good thing here. I was supposed to speak next week. That was on the schedule. The guy that was going to fill in for my Sunday school class had plans to be gone that week, and it was all going to work out just perfect. And then Len had two funerals last week, and he had two funerals this week, and I volunteered to cover up for him. So I'm a week early, probably stole his thunder, but we welcome you to our services today. God made it where the camping arrangements didn't work out, so the guy that filled in for me could fill in today, and I'll be doing it next week in the Sunday school class, so that's where it is. It's Mother's Day. Everyone knows that, don't you? Okay, if you don't know it, raise your hand. Okay, we're good. We're all on the same page then. It is a privilege to speak on this day. And God ordained that this would be the day that I get to preach. We as elders get together and we have chances to kind of choose passages we would maybe want to preach on to help Lynn out when it is. And over a month and a half ago, I picked this passage. Little did I know that God had the whole thing planned. May better than I would have, okay? So it fits really well with the message that I will be preaching today. So, mothers, we're glad to have all of you here today, and we'll speak about you a little bit in here. I found some random selfie information that I like to share with you before we get into the message. But these are just some nebulous things. I heard someone talking about it, so I looked it up and talked to a few people. But millennials ages 18 to 34 will take 25,700 selfies in their lifetime. That is some important information. Females, and I don't mean this mean in any way, I didn't find one for males, but females spend 5 hours a week taking selfies. It's what the paper said, that's all I'm saying. The one that really got me, though, was in 2015, there were more deaths by selfies than there were by shark attacks. I'm glad somebody else laughed. I can't believe you'd stand on a cliff to take a picture and fall off. It's happened. Selfies. When I read those things, I was taken back. We might just be a society hooked on self if we spend that much time taking selfies. Over the last week, I spent some time just looking for some different examples of unselfishness and selfishness. I'll remind you of some. You've probably heard of them or saw them also. Stephen Miller works in the White House. He was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and you know what took place there. But there are some pictures and stories that came out about Steve taking his wife and putting her underneath the table. She's 8 months pregnant in a tight dress, and he did a push-up over the top of her as not to lay on her but to protect her. That's unselfishness. That's a good one. I also teach Character Strong at our school up in Bags. And the Character Strong classes, we take a half hour with the eighth graders on Thursdays, and I take a half hour with the ninth graders on Wednesday. I began each one of those classes this week with a question. And I asked this question. I didn't want them to give their names or anything else. I just wanted them to answer this question. Who's the most unselfish person you know? You can take the test. I won't accept or I won't gather up the papers. But the ones I did came up with these answers, and it's pretty amazing to me. 15 of the kids in those two classes put their mothers down as the number one answer. Good deal. 4 more put their grandmas down as the answer. 3 said their grandpas. So we do have a shot, guys. We do. We have to just keep working at it, okay? And then I had 2 other very odd answers that didn't make a lot of sense, but as God ordained, I started preaching on this, and so it's really going to come in pretty good later. I looked up on the internet just to see what the number one answer would be if you ask it to most people. And those 15 kids were right. That's the number one answer for the most unselfish person people know. Mothers. Good day to preach on Mother's Day. I also saw a video of the president speaking in the Rose Garden, speaking to the angel moms, mothers who had gone through the loss of a child, and how happy they were to be there, and how honored they were. They're on the top of our list. So, moms, grandmas, ladies, we do appreciate everything that you taught us. Everything you did for us. You are truly examples of a servant who gives unselfishly to others. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The passage I chose to speak on today comes from the book of Philippians. And because I didn't like technology last night, you don't have notes on the board. Because I wasn't going to type it again. I lost 2 of them. Then my computer told me, just push escape, Paul. Didn't say Paul, but that's when I was reading. So I pushed it, and I did lose everything. So I had to do a number of things over to get there. So we don't have those notes today, but I'll try and follow them clearly, and you'll be able to understand that. The passage comes in Philippians chapter 2, and it's really one verse. Verse 3 of Philippians chapter 2. I know you all study your Bibles. This is the kenosis passage. You all know what kenosis means, so I won't tell you what that is. But this is that passage, and right in the middle of it, there's a Mother's Day message and a message for all of us. I'm going to read the first 4 verses of that chapter, and then we'll move on into those things. I better use my glasses. That's another sign of getting old. Oh, yeah, that's better. If, therefore, there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Verse 3, the one that I chose, just a verse. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. If, therefore, there's any encouragement in Christ, there is. All those questions, the if, are answered very clearly in our relationship with Christ. One thing that I got out of that passage was, did you know we're not the center of the universe? It's not selfie day. We are not the center of the universe. The world does not revolve around us. In fact, that was proved in the 15th century by Nicholas Copernicus. You know him, you've studied him in school, you've got all that. He made a huge discovery at that time. The world, the earth and all its people, thought that they were the center of the universe, and the sun and everything else rotated around them. He said, no, we rotate around the sun. I think there's some good spiritual meaning there too. It is be spelled different, but I think it's something we might think about as we go through the rest. We rotate around the S-O-N. And we need to follow his example. A change of thinking was needed by the people of that day. They had to change from what they had believed up to that point to believing something that didn't seem true to them. Let's look at this a bit. When a baby is born, life revolves around that child and they begin to grow. And they begin to believe that all their needs will be met all the time. If they're hungry, they get fed. If they're a mess, they get it changed. They keep their parents awake at night because they don't want to sleep. Everything kind of revolves around them, and they begin to believe that. I even think some kids probably believe that walls should disappear when they walk into them, because they fall down screaming and yelling that the wall was there. I think some of them probably wish that floors were soft, because when they fall on them, it hurts, and they don't like that. Do you get my point? Life doesn't always treat us that way. And usually after a hard lesson about gravity, or maybe a toy taken and given to the Christmas toy drive for others that are not as fortunate as you, there's lots of crying and screaming and kicking, and that's mine. No, they can't have that. That maybe happens in your house. It did in ours. The box finally goes away. Things have changed in the child's life. Their thinking must begin to change. Their actions need to change. They begin to realize, I'm not the center of the universe. We grow up thinking that about ourselves because we're told to be self-reliant. We're told to be self-confident, to have self-esteem. And if you have problems, read a self-help book. And those things are good. I believe those are things God's put in our minds. But when that's the number one thing, we're missing out on the sun, is what I believe as we go through that. We grow up thinking that about ourselves. We are very self-centered. And in verse 3 of this passage, Paul gives us two negative marks of how we're not to live and one of how we are to live. And we're going to look at the marks of humility, of loving one another today. Paul says in verse 3, don't live this way. Don't live selfishly. That's what he tells us to do. When I asked the question to my Character Strong kids, I told you that I had a few answers that seemed a little bit awry. I want to share those two answers with you right now. One person, I don't know the name, on their 3x5 card, they wrote in big letters, M-E. I don't think he understood, or she didn't understand the question. The second one that kind of caught my mind was this. I-D-K. I don't know. Good answer. And then right underneath it, it said this. We are all selfish sometimes. They got the assignment. They understood what I was looking for. One got it, one didn't. Paul says for us to do nothing from selfishness or selfish ambition, which in the original language means self-seeking advantage. Doing things for our own advantage, regardless of the effect that it has on other people. Self-centeredness. Me-first mentality is living a life seeking advantage, prioritizing my own needs, my image, my convenience, while disregarding how my actions might impact those people that are around me. Interrupting others. Showcasing ourselves rather than connecting in good relationships. Not showing empathy. Taking credit for success. Deflecting blame. Pointing fingers when things go wrong. That's toxic self-centeredness, I believe. It's all about me. That's the first negative mark. Do not live that way. Mark number two. Don't live pridefully. I believe that's the other one in verse 3 there. The word is in my scriptures of the Bible that I, translation that I follow, empty conceit. The word means vain glory. A person who cherishes exaggerated ideas of their own importance. Don't live that way, Paul tells them. The Romans had a problem with it. Paul addressed that in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, when he says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. He was telling them the same thing that we're hearing today. Oh yeah, the church in Corinth, they had a problem with that also. And Paul pinned 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. And in that chapter, he says that love is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant or puffed up. It does not seek its own. Rather, it's all about love, is what he said. Not self. My grandmother and my mom, I don't know if they ever told my sisters this, but I remember hearing this quite a few times in my life between Grandma Lenore and my own mom. Paul, pride goeth before a fall. I don't know if your parents said that or your grandma or your mom, but mine did. You can find that in Proverbs chapter 16. They were quoting it to me. I also heard a couple other stories that kind of go along with that. And it was the mother whale talking to the baby whale. I probably read children's books, I don't know. But the mother looks to the baby whale and it says, it's when you get on top when you get harpooned. It's another one of those good ones. It's all about pride. And when you get there, you can be hammered. Pride is a very destructive force. Have you ever witnessed someone walking into a room and looking like, I'm here. Look at me. Yes, we've all seen that. Maybe we've done it. How about the person that enters the room and goes, oh, there you are. Do we see that very often? That's the difference between the two. Pride says, look at me. And love says, look at them. That's something we can all learn each and every day. I believe when Paul entered a room, he said, there you are. Can I be of any benefit to you in any way? I think he might have done that. Look at how he starts every one of his epistles. Paul, a bondservant of Christ. Almost every one of them starts that way. Oh, there you are. Can I be of benefit to you? Don't live selfishly. Don't live pridefully. These two things got Satan booted out of heaven. And you go, how do you know? Because I read Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, and I'd like to read them to you now. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That's how I know, because the Word said it. I also know that when we live like that, we live more like Satan than we do Christ. And that's in the Word also. Let's look at this positive mark. Those were the two negative. The positive mark is the third one in verse 3. Live with humility or live humbly is what it says. This is foreign to our thinking. But with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Lowliness of mind is what that says. I don't remember being taught to think lowly of myself when I was growing up, except by my grandma and my mom. Pride goeth before fall, Paul. We're not always taught that way. We usually think of self and self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-determination, all again good marks. But if that's all we think about, we're missing the point that we are not to live pridefully. Pride makes God our enemy. Humility makes God our friend. Let me read James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. But he gives greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Pride got Satan removed from heaven. Pride gets us in trouble. And to the Greek culture, it was not the way they thought. They believed that the universe revolved around them. They were the greatest. They were the best. And to be a low person was not okay. They called everyone who was not a Greek a barbarian. Everybody they conquered, they made their slaves. And it was not a high thing to be called any of that. It was a vice to them, but I'm telling you today, it is a virtue to live with God and in His plans. Be a person with a low mind or humble mind was a virtue to Him. That's how Jesus was. If you turn back in Philippians chapter 2, and I just read through verses 5 through 8 because we don't have time to preach all of them, it says this: Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But He emptied Himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those who are in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A bondservant. He took on that. I couldn't preach all of those things, but a friend of mine who lives in the Sand Hills of Nebraska sent me a video. And we're going to watch about 2.5 minutes of a video. And you're going to hear people living out what this just said.
If you drive to the edge of nowhere and keep heading toward the middle of it, you will eventually come to the home of Mike and Kayla Wintz.
I've traveled this country. I don't know if I've ever been as remote as I am right now.
How remote are they?
A gallon of milk is a little over an hour away.
Mike and Kayla are ranchers deep in the sand hills of western Nebraska. And although they are isolated, Mike and Kayla say they have never felt more connected to this great nation, thanks to the blessing of a curse. A couple months ago, the largest wildfire in Nebraska history burned about 1,000 square miles of ranch land, including the fields that Mike and Kayla lease.
You have 11,000 acres?
Yes.
How much of that burned?
All of it. Within 2 hours, it's all gone. It's tough.
With the grass gone, the cattle couldn't graze, and Mike and Kayla were in real danger of losing their livelihood. Other ranchers in the area who might have helped were in the same boat. They didn't have hay either. But then, Mike's phone started ringing.
Telling me that hay was on the way, where did I want it? And
how many are here?
I'm guessing 700.
And they're still coming?
Yeah.
So far, Mike has been gifted about $80,000 worth of hay from mostly anonymous donors.
They don't want the glory.
Isn't that the best kind of kind deed, though?
Yeah. Yeah. They know they did it, and that's all they need.
Yeah.
It is selflessness.
Yeah.
And it is of great magnitude.
Up to 200 phone calls a day of people wanting to donate hay.
Sarah Cover is a volunteer. She's been connecting donors with other ranchers in the area who lost all their grass and hay, too.
You see these convoys of 20-plus trucks loaded with hay, and there's school kids cheering them on.
No one asked for this help. It just came from thousands of farmers and ranchers and truck drivers as far away as South Carolina. And although the need remains desperate,
Every rancher that we have called to send them hay has asked us to send it to their neighbor first.
Empathy, charity, and grace. Qualities that guarantee no matter how isolated you are, you are never alone.
I practiced this 5 times and I thought I'd never cry. But that makes me $80,000 worth of hay. Some of you know what that means. Given free from as far away as South Carolina. And all the ranchers around him, over 200 phone calls, every one of them said, I need it, but give it to my neighbor first. We can learn something from out in the middle of nowhere, because the world does not revolve around us. Moms, as I close, I want to commend you all as being the person that most people thought were the most unselfish person they knew. Some of you may have not had a great relationship with your mom, and I'm truly sorry for any of that. However, all of us can step up and live humbly and consider others more important than ourselves. It will take a change of thinking in a lot of our minds and our hearts. Man or woman, we can do it. I want to conclude with one of my favorite songs that I listen to a number of times. And I don't know, do they make CD players anymore? I couldn't find one in my house last night, so I had to listen to it on the internet. Technology, it's great. I'm telling you, it is. I want to conclude with this song called The Marks of the Mission.
We couldn't see then, but we can see it now. I can only imagine the look in your father's eyes when you came back home and said, look at the scars in my hands and my side. I just wanted I'm
righteous ages, faith inspired me.
Let me remind you of one thing. We are not the center of the universe. We revolve around the S-O-N. You are dismissed. Thanks for coming. Happy Mother's Day. Celebrate with them today.